Good morning to everybody. It's really good to see everyone this morning and thankful for another day that the Lord has made and another opportunity to be at His house and amongst His people. And I'm thankful to see all of you this morning and certainly come before you this morning fearful, in need of your prayer. We all stand in need of each other's prayer. We need the Lord for everything that we do. We need the Lord for all of it. There's nothing. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. And that's the truth. That is the fact of the matter. If we don't have Him, we've got nothing. And we also know that He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us, and He's always with us. So even when we can't feel Him or we can't see Him, He hasn't left us. That's kind of how I feel. We're in this old fleshly body sometimes, and we can get caught up in our own mind, in our own thoughts, and we can find our way away from Him at times, I believe. And I just pray this morning that He'll be with us and He'll guide us and direct us. And so pray for me, pray for this service. There's no better place we could be this morning. There's no better place that we could be this morning than in the house of the Lord. There's nothing more and nothing better that we could do than to seek after Him and look to Him for everything. We don't have a whole lot of hope in this world. There's not a lot of hope in man. There's not a lot of hope in things of this world. Right? The news doesn't get any better, does it? If you look out and see what's going on in front of you and you hear a lot of the things that are taking place around of you, a lot of things aren't getting better, are they? But I would tell you that we have a rich, almighty friend this morning, and we have a wonderful Savior who's done everything for us and has accomplished everything for us. And He is rich. He is rich beyond measure. He is rich in grace. He is rich in mercy. He is rich. And that's what I want to tell you about this morning, is that's who we're dependent on this morning. That's who I'm dependent on this morning. That's who we need this morning. And not just this morning, but every day. Every day that we live, I need that rich, almighty friend. I need that rich, almighty friend because I got nothing. I know what I am. I know what I am. I know that what I am is by the grace of God. And that's what I have on my mind this morning. Is I first thought of is Psalm 24. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. There's a lot of folks, a lot of God's people, not a lot, there's a lot of God's people, but there's a belief amongst some of God's people, certainly, and a lot of the so-called religions of the world today, that our God sits in the heavens and He frets Himself over whether we're going to do what He wants us to do. That He's up there worrying about whether we're going to accept Him, or we're going to follow Him, or we're going to do what He wants us to do. And He's worried about whether we're going to get it right. I'm going to tell you, the earth belongs to the Lord and the fullness thereof and His people. I want you to know this morning that we have a great God in heaven who has done whatsoever He has pleased, and He created the heavens and the earth, and He's also chosen a people. He has a people chosen. It says, Romans 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Amen. Think about that. The knowledge of God. There's nothing that God doesn't know. There's nothing that surprises Him. There's nothing that He is waiting on to happen. There is nothing. Not only does he have the knowledge, he has the wisdom, which means he has all the knowledge and he knows exactly what to do with it. He is perfect and has been perfect, has always been perfect, and everything he does, all of his judgments, Psalm 19:9 says all of his judgments are true and righteous altogether. If it's true and righteous and all of his judgments are true and righteous altogether, do you think he would have left it up to us today to procure our eternal salvation? No, because that's not true and it's not righteous. But he is true and righteous altogether, and his knowledge, his foreknowledge of us, not just his foreknowledge or his knowing of us, but his love of us, his choosing of us, his choice of us. Not because we were good, not because we were going to get it right, not because we were going to accept anything, but because he loved us with a great love and chose us, and because we were his people for his name's sake. Because for his name's sake, do we understand? I hope we understand that this morning. It's because he chose us and said he was going to keep us until the end of time. That's why we're kept. Not because of anything good we did, but because he does what he says he's going to do. All the time. That's wonderful this morning, isn't it? Because if it was up to me and it was up to you, I might be all right today, but I'm done tomorrow. Right? And I'll never hold on to it all the way that I should. I'll never believe like I should. Never. Because I'm not capable. Why? Because I'm full of sin. I'm vile and full of sin. I was born in sin. And if God hadn't reached out and touched me, and if we hadn't been born in the Spirit, you're not here this morning. And born in the Spirit is not, that's not anything any man can give you. The natural man doesn't know about the things of God. He doesn't understand about the things of God. He doesn't desire about the things of God. If you have a desire in your heart to know more about him this morning, that's an evidence that he's already reached out to you and touched you, and you belong to him. And if you belong to him, there's nothing that'll take you away from that. You'll never be removed from that, because it says he shall save his people. That's pretty clear to me, isn't it? That he has a people. I don't believe it. I know you say John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But I also tell you that Matthew 1 says, he shall save his people. His people, that's his people. The world he's speaking of in John 3:16 are the people that he chose in covenant before the foundation of the world. And every one of them that he chose before the foundation of the world will come to him. They will answer that call somewhere between conception and death. They will know. And when he comes to call us all home, every one of them will be in glory with him. Amen. Everyone. We will not, that not one shall fail. And I'm telling you, that's good news this morning. I believe it's good news to all of us this morning. If I had to accept him, I can't accept him. I can't accept him. I don't know why he would accept me. Accepting means I have to do something. But I want to get this. Romans 11, it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Now, just because something's unsearchable doesn't mean it can't be looked for, because we can certainly see all of this in his word. Right? But what that unsearchable means is we'll never get to the bottom of it. No matter how high we look, no matter how far we dig, no matter how far we go down, we'll never get to the bottom of the Lord's greatness. It says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? You know what's great about this, I believe, is also Paul here isn't just making this up out of Paul's word. Paul didn't just come up with this on his own. These aren't the words of Paul. This is the words of these that, who have known the mind of the Lord. That comes from Isaiah. That comes from the prophet Isaiah. Well, who did he get that from? He got it from the Lord. It all came from the Lord. This was being preached by the Apostle Paul. This was being preached by the Apostle Paul from Isaiah. And then it says, or who have been his counselor? That came from Job. That came from the book of Job. And think about it. Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? A lot of times we think God needs our counsel. We want to get a lot of people. Sometimes we like to get it. We think our best decision is we want to ask everybody what they think we ought to do. Well, guess what? Our Lord doesn't need anybody to tell him what to do. He doesn't need anybody to ask him what to do. His knowledge and his wisdom is unsearchable. He doesn't need us this morning. So that means he doesn't need my acceptance. My acceptance is not conditioned to his work being completed. Do you understand that? Isn't that great? It's great this morning. His work is not limited by my imperfections. Because who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first, now get this, I think this really blows it out the water. Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. Think about that. Who hath first given unto him? I'm telling you, anybody says you need to raise your hand and accept the Lord, and then you need to hold on to it, and then you need to do this, because he wants you to do something, they're way off, and they never read this. Because what this says is, who hath first given to him, and it shall be given back. I'm telling you, everything we have today, every bit of praise and honor and glory that we give to the Lord is because he gave us the ability to do so. And he put it in our heart, and he worked it in us, and it's for us to work out. Does that make sense to you this morning? We can't give anything to him because we don't have anything. That everything we give to him this morning is what he's already put in our heart. It's the work that he's already done. Get that. For of him and through him and to him are all things. Of him, that means he's the source. That's where it comes from. He is our source. To him and through him. That means he's our action. Right? He's not only the source, but he's what gives us the action. We're from there, we're through here, and to him, which is the praise that we want to give him this morning, are all things, to whom be glory forever. We have no room for our glory. We're not in here this morning. If we're in here for our own glory, we should just go on somewhere else. Because we have no room for it here. And then it says amen. And it goes down to chapter 12 and it says, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, because of all these things. That therefore is because I beseech you therefore, because of all these things I've just told you. Because of all of God's greatness and all of the work that's been done for us by and through his grace. I beseech you therefore, brethren, he calls them brethren. This isn't talking to the dead alien sinner trying to turn him into a little child of God. He's already talking to little children of God. And because God has done all these things, our response ought to be, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice this morning, a living, breathing sacrifice, because that's what God's put in our heart. That's what God has worked to work into it. And the sacrifice is for us to follow after his will and not our own. And so many times we want to walk after our own will. We want to walk after our own way. We want to do the things that we want to do. We have to put that old man off, Brother Daddy. We got to take that old man. We got to take this old body of flesh off. We got to put it aside. And I got to say, what I need to say is, Lord, look what the Lord has done for me. Look what he's done for us this morning. Look at all the grace and mercy in our lives. All of it. Look back at your time that you've spent here on this earth and think about how good God has been to you. I know how good he's been to me. He was the one sacrifice for all of us. He was the one sacrifice, the one this living sacrifice that is being talked about here will never make atonement. It won't atone. Atonement means something has to be paid for. That's not what that sacrifice is. We don't have to go to, you hear the word sacrifice, you don't usually associate living with it. Sacrifice usually means death. And we did. We had one go. Our Lord and Savior went to the cross and suffered on Calvary not for his transgressions, but for our transgressions. By his stripes we were healed. And here he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means cast off that old man and those old ways. Holy, acceptable unto God. And it says, which is your reasonable service. That means it's not asking too much? And I don't believe this is just talking about a Sunday sacrifice. I don't believe this is just a church day sacrifice. I believe this is when I wake up in the morning, I ought to say, thank you, God, for waking me up. I ought to be looking to him to make my decisions for the day. I ought to be looking to him to help me, guide me on the job. I ought to be looking to him to help guide me in how I'm going to instruct my family. I ought to be looking to him for everything. And so many times I fall so far short because I start looking to Jimmy. And I start looking to Jimmy's knowledge. And guess what? Jimmy's knowledge ain't unsearchable. It can't even get me out the door. But our God, his ways, it's unsearchable, see? I need to be with him, don't you? It says, and be not conformed to this world. We can be so easily conformed to this world. Brethren, we've been called to come out of this world. We're not supposed to walk and talk. If we find ourselves walking and talking and acting like the world out there, we're not doing too well. We're in the wrong place. And I would tell you, the Lord will work on you. If you're his, he'll work on you. You'll know it. Isn't that a wonderful feeling too? Because if you can feel something and you can feel it's wrong, that's an evidence that you belong to him. That's him telling you, don't do that, son. We have a great God. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why we come to the house of God. That's why we study the scripture. Because we need that spiritual mind stirred up. We need it restored. Colossians 3 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. I need my affection set on things above. I need to remember those things that he's done for me. I need to remember that glorious truth. I need to remember this gospel message. I need to remember that. I need to think about him. And I can only do that by his power and by his grace. I'm telling you, we have a great and mighty God in heaven who has already done all things for us. Let us look to him and seek after him. And those things, we have no righteousness of our own. Y'all continue to pray for me as you have in mind too. I love you all. God bless you.
That we've heard. I feel the Lord was certainly in that, and give him the glory and the honor and the praise for blessing Brother Jimmy to share with us the gospel. The gospel message is salvation is by the grace of God through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's a promise that the Lord has made. He came to fulfill the will of the Father. When Jesus came here into this world, he was sent to do the Father's will. And the will of the Father was that of all that he had given him, he would lose none of them, but raise them up again at the last day. And you and I can have great comfort, consolation, in simply believing in God and believing also in his Son, that what he said he did, he accomplished and he finished. And we can rest in that. That's what I enjoy about coming to the Lord's house. We sing that gospel. During the song service, we sang the truth, the things that were laid down in God's Word. We were able to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's why it's important for us to be a participant in that as much as we can. Lift up our voice, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and to speak the gospel as we sing hymns. And listen to what we're singing. Take heed to what we're singing. And then try to, as much as we can, be transformed by that. The scripture says, be not conformed to this world. If we talk the things of the world, and we sing the things of the world, and we think on the things of this world, we'll be conformed to the things of this world. If we input all the things of the world in our life, and that's where we go for our guidance and for our direction, we go to the ideas and the thoughts of man, and that's all fine and good for the natural things of this world, but it is to be very carefully limited in our lives so it doesn't overtake our thought process, so that we're not thinking the things of the Lord, but rather the things of the world. We're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed. That means formed across, not formed with, but formed across. By the renewing of your mind, we need mind renewal. That's why you sing, is so you can have your mind renewed. That's why we read the Word of God, so that we can have our mind renewed. That's why we pray to God to give us a clean heart, renew in me a right spirit, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Lord, cause me to remember how good thou hast been to me. Lord, don't let me forget that. I need my mind renewed. And then, as Brother Jimmy has pointed out, we're to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Now, in order to have your pure mind stirred up, you got to have a pure mind. And we don't have a pure mind on our own.
Amen.
You know, by nature, we can't just change our mind around and say, okay, I think I just want a pure mind. And we can't just say, I think I want a new heart. The world talks about you just wanting a new heart or a new mind, and you can just will yourself right into that. The fact of the matter, if you have the want to, you're already blessed, because God's already worked in you something you couldn't do on your own. If you have a hunger and thirst after spiritual things, he said, blessed are ye that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for ye shall be filled. If you have a hunger for it, if you have a desire for it, if you want your mind to be better, if you have a heart that's longing to know the Lord and you know you need the Lord, and you want to hear from the things of the Lord, and you want to go to church and not just sit there on the bench and check the mark that you showed up, but you want it to be a transforming experience. In other words, I want to be transformed. I want to be made more like thee. More like thee. I want to walk more like him. I want to talk more like him. I want to live more like him. I want to love like he has loved. I want to think like he has told me in the Word of God I'm supposed to think. I want to conform. I want my life transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's by getting in the book and learning what the book says, and then putting the book into application in your life and living the Word of God, wearing the gospel, living in this world in a way to bring glory and honor to the Lord. Because the Lord has called us to do that. He's not only called us to do that, he is with us for the purpose of giving us the ability to do what he's called us to do. He's begun the work, And he's the finisher of the work. He's the author of it. He's the finisher of it. He's the one we're to look to. I'm not telling you today that you can do anything on your own. As a matter of fact, I'm telling you just the opposite. Without him, you can't do anything. And neither can I. We need him, don't we?
Amen.
And the good news is, those who know that show evidence. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you show evidence already that you're born of the Spirit. You see, the world says you believe that Jesus is the Christ to get born, when the Bible says you believe that Jesus is the Christ because you are born. That person, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. Not will be, not can get to be, but is born of God.
Amen.
He's already done the work. He's already done the calling. He has already moved and given you the Holy Spirit in your heart. He didn't ask you, do you want it? He came and gave it to you, and then you want it, and you desire more of it because he's already given you that.
That's right.
Isn't it good to have a God who's so big that he does what we could not do, and he does it in such a perfect way and in such a perfect manner, that now our desire is to walk in the life that he has given us, and the abilities that he's given us, and the gift that he's given us, and he doesn't even allow us the sense of you can do that on your own. I need him to do that. I need him. I'm going to preach this morning with the gift God's given me. I'm going to need his blessings to do that.
Amen.
And you need to pray. Sometimes we just take for granted the preacher's going to get in the stand and preach because he did last week and the week before, and he's been there a lot of times, and it's just going to happen. I'm telling you, we ought to come to every meeting. Lord, bless us. Lord, bless me as I study thy word that I can understand what I'm reading. Lord, bless me that I can experience it in my day-to-day life where thy word lights up and I can see the truth of it in my walk here in this world. Lord, bless our preacher when he gets in the stand to be able to preach, and then bless me with an ear to hear it and an eye to see it and a heart to understand it, so that my church life isn't just a place where I come in again and check the box that I showed up, but that it is a transforming experience that I have of grace in my life through the work and the power of Almighty God. I tell you, church has made a difference in my life over the years.
Amen.
Reading God's word has made a difference in my life over the years. And the difference that I've had in the past isn't what I need today is that same thing. I need, because he's already preached it. Are we going to ever get to the end of it where we graduate and now you got your degree and all of this, and so you don't need any more teaching? You got it all. What did he just say to us from Romans 11? It's what? It's unsearchable. His greatness is unsearchable. His wisdom is unsearchable. His understanding is unsearchable. This book is unsearchable.
Amen.
It's new every day. It's good for you every day. What you've heard and read and thought about in the past, it's good to have it restored, but there are depths of it that I've yet to know. And the day that I leave this world, I'm telling you, there'll be so much more. The half has not been told. There'll be so much more to know that when we get home to glory, it won't be born. I'll tell you, through eternity, it won't be born, because we will be in the presence of Almighty God, and we who now know in part will know as we're known. And we who now see through a glass darkly, as much as I can see, sometimes I get overwhelmed with it, but even at that, we still see through a glass darkly, but one day's coming when we're going to see him face to face.
Amen.
And all the questions I have about a lot of things are going to be answered in a moment when I see him. And I'll know as I'm known, and then I'll be able to really thank him and praise him as I ought. You know what that kind of teaches me, though? The more I know about him here, the better I'm going to be at praising him. And that's what God called you to do.
Amen.
Sometimes you wonder, why am I even on the planet? I'll tell you why you're here. You're here to praise God.
That's right.
Because everything is of him and by him and through him. You just read it. Romans 11 told it to us right clearly and plainly. I enjoyed it the first time, so I'm going to give it to him the second time. It's of him and by him and through him are all things.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
We've got a God who's provided for us just what we need.
Amen.
And we have it in His Word. We have it in by the Spirit that dwells in our heart. He enlightens us. He opens our eyes to it, our understanding to it. And if you know, can see any of that, that means you belong to Him. And there are promises in God's Word for you, little child of grace.
Amen.
When you're faced with a world that seems to be falling all apart all around you.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the way our lives seem, don't
yeah.
it? Seems like everything is uprooted and everything that I've had any confidence in has been shaken. And everything that I've ever thought about as a man just kind of... In other words, some people say my world is crashing down on me. My world is falling down. Everything that I thought that was going to last. Sometimes we think the United States of America is going to last forever. Listen, it had a start and it'll have an end. It'll have a finish. Now, it's been a blessed place. And the Lord has been with us. But we have absolutely no guarantee that it'll hold another 250 years or 200 years or 100 years or 10 years. We cannot just trust on being citizens of the United States of America and think that's going to settle it. We are the family of God. We are the children of God. And we have a greater one to trust in than the governments of this world.
Amen.
And when that falls down, we're going to have a God who's going to hold on to you. And I'm just going to read that and get out of the way. I want to read to you Psalm 46. If you have your Bible and would like to turn with me, please do. Psalm 46. This is to the chief musicians for the sons of Korah. A song upon Alamoth. He says, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. That verse just tells me God's sovereign.
Amen.
That verse tells me it doesn't matter what men say. It doesn't matter what men think. Doesn't matter how loud they get or how boisterous they are or how much they get filled with pride and what they say against God's little children. I'm telling you, when God speaks, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Listen, that's a promise. That's a statement. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And once again, Selah. That means stop and think about this. I want you to think on this today. I want you to leave thinking about this. I think we've already started thinking about this. I want you to continue to think about this. I want you to focus on it. I want you to remember it. I want to be talking about it. When I talk to you, I want you to talk about it to me. And I want to talk about it to you. I want us to sing it together. I want us to sing it over and over. I want us to talk about that when we communicate with one another. I want this to be the focus of our thoughts. That we've got a God who has started a work in us. Who's going to continue that work and is going to finish that work. And that Lord who has done that for us is with us right now.
Amen.
Right now. Whatever you need, whatever you stand in the danger of, whatever's coming your way, whatever problems are coming today, and what's true for today will also be true this afternoon. It'll be true tonight. It'll be true when you go to sleep. It'll be true when you get up in the morning. It'll be true on Monday. It'll be true on Tuesday. It'll be true on Wednesday. And that is if the Lord tarries and doesn't come again. It'll be true until He comes again. And then when we get home, it'll still be true because this God is going to be with us forever. We are going to dwell in the house of the Lord. What did Psalm 23 say? Forever. I'm telling you, God is with us. And He's not just the God. He's the God of hosts. He's the God of power.
He's not just the God of hosts. He's the God of Jacob. He's the covenant-keeping God. He's the God who loved you before the foundation of the world. I hope you believe what the Bible says, that he had a foreknowledge that knew his people in an intimate way, and he loved them. He chose them even before the foundation of the world. You were known of him a long time before you knew anything about him. He saw you formed and fashioned in your mother's womb. He saw you in your very life. He looked down through time and saw us. And in his foreknowledge and in his love and in his mercy, he specifically and particularly purchased you. He chose you. He made choice of you. And all of that was motivated by his love. And there's a river of God's love that's flowing out of heaven right now today that you and I can freely drink of. I hope you're filling your cup. And I hope your cup is running over. And I hope you're resting in it and trusting in him and leaning upon him. He says, God is our refuge. Doesn't that really make the difference about wherever you are, whatever's going on in your life? I've got a God who's my refuge. And when the Bible says he's your refuge, he's talking about he's your place of safety. He's your place of protection. He's the place you can go when you're hungry. Because he's got green pastures for little lambs and sheep. He's the place you can go where you're thirsty, because he's got still waters that will feed your thirsty soul. He's the place you can go when you need some light and I need to know what to do. You can go to him, and he's the light of the world. I'm telling you, when you go look to the Lord, in him there is no darkness at all. And whether it's the midnight hour or the morning or the noonday sun, he's the same in both places. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the one we can go to for whatever we need. He says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's the God we look to. He's got everything I need. Isn't it good to have a helper who has everything you need?
Yeah.
We go to the helpers of this world, and they often want to help, but they don't have what you need. They don't have what you need. They may have to reorder it. We out of stock. They may just have forgotten this or that. But our God doesn't forget anything. As a matter of fact, all good things come from him. He's the one who supplied everything that we have. He's the one who gave us life, and he's the supply of everything that we need to sustain life. That's why they call him the bread of life. He's not only the one who gives life, but he's the one who sustains it. That's who you look to today. That's the God who is our refuge. And I just want to remind you that God is our refuge. Psalm 91 says it this way. He says in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. You see, he is my refuge, whether I'm trusting in him or not. But isn't it a shame when we don't trust in him? He is my refuge. He's there to supply what we need, but we need to trust in him. What time I am afraid, the psalmist wrote, I will trust in thee. I need to exercise my faith. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. We have a God we can look to and trust in, who is our refuge, and he's our strength. When he's our refuge, he's our safety, he's our protection, he is our shelter, he is everything that we stand in need of, and he's our strength, and he's a very present help in trouble. That means he's abundantly available for help. Isn't it good to have somebody that can help you that's available? You ever try to call a doctor to get some help? Sometimes they're just not available. And you get this person, you get that person, and sometimes you wonder whether they really want to help you or not. But even if they want to help you, they can't be there for everybody, because there's a whole lot of people asking for help. But you know, our God doesn't have any trouble with an innumerable company of people, because he hears every one of his children. He's not only a help that hears you cry, he knows before you ask. And many times has he not answered even before we asked, even as we were asking, he's already answering. Have you seen God's hand that way? I'm telling you, on Monday, God filled my life for a little while with all kinds of people that were all kinds of help. And they didn't have a clue when they came to work what they were going to have to deal with me. being there. But I'm telling you what, they were a blessing to me because God put them in that place.
Amen.
And God moved in my life in such a powerful way. I saw the goodness that God had placed in them, that he had allowed me to have. And we had sweet fellowship as I was about to go into a procedure. As a matter of fact, I felt so good about it, I kind of want to go back and feel that way again. I don't want to go through the procedure again, but I sure do want to feel that way again. Because it wasn't long after I got home that I began to doubt and began to wonder, is he with me or not? And I'm telling you, that morning I felt that he was with me. And I felt that he was with the nurses. And I felt that he was with the doctor. And I felt that he was with those that were with my family that were there. And I felt the peace and the comfort that came in realizing God is my refuge.
Amen.
God is my strength. God is my help. I'm all right with him. If I live, I'm all right. And if I die, I'm all right. Because he's got a place prepared that one day we'll be with him in glory. And until that time, we get a little heaven here below. You get a little happy here below. You get to feel him a little here below. That's why you come to church. So that I can feel the manifest presence of the Lord. And when I can feel him, everything's okay. This psalm is saying God is our refuge and strength. And he's a very present help in trouble. That's good because we're going to have a life full of trouble. A lot of problems, right? Listen to what he says, verse 2. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. That's when your world comes seemingly crashing down, when your problems get so overwhelming, you get overwhelmed by them, when everything that you've kind of trusted in gets ripped up and changed. Governments can change. Things that your bank accounts can change. All of the things that you think that are in this world that men can trust in can change. But I'm telling you what, we look to a God who changes not. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And the good news about that is just and righteous is he. He's perfect. We got a perfect Lord. And he's worthy of our trust. He says, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. When is it that we do not fear? When we're trusting in him. When we're leaning upon him. And he says, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, we will not fear when all of that happens. And then that Selah means you stop and think and pause and remember why it is that we can have peace in our life. And let us give God the glory and the honor and the praise for it because he's allowed us by grace to trust and lean upon him. You know how we know that God created the heavens and the earth? Because he gave us faith. And for by grace are you saved, what? Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We didn't muster that up on our own, it's a gift of God. And then he tells us there's a river. There's a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Brethren, we have a place that the Lord has provided for us here in his church. And we have the river of God's love that was shown to us even before the foundation of the world. God foreknew us. God predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. God effectually called us. All of that's an evidence of his love. He brought us out of death and sin to life in Christ. God justified us. You want to see the love of God? You can see it no better place than when Jesus came into this world and the love of God was manifested to us when he went to the cross. And there at Calvary, every sin that I had ever committed and everything that needed to be paid, he took that payment in his own body. He suffered, he bled, he died, but he didn't stay dead, did he? He came forth on the third day, a resurrected Savior, and he showed himself to men in this world for 40 days, and then he ascended back unto the Father. They saw him ascend back into the clouds, and one day he's coming again to get that which he died for and paid the sin debt for, and he'll have everything that he purchased on the cross. He'll have it in perfection when we're glorified and with him in heaven and immortal glory. And until that time, there's a river of God's love that flows out of heaven
that when you and I need the strength for living every single day, when we need the faith to walk in a way to please Him, when we need instruction from His Word, when we need encouragement, whatever we stand in need of, as we look to the Lord, we can draw from that river of His love and His grace, and He supplies it every step of the way. That's the one we're to look to. That's the one we're leaned upon. That's the one we're to trust in. And the promise is that those who He has begun a good work in, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And may the Lord help us to walk as close to Him as we can while we're here in this world, remembering God is our refuge and He is our strength. And He's a very present help in whatever we face in this world. We can lean on the Lord, depend upon Him, trust in His Word, leave it in His hands, turn it over to Him, cast your cares upon Him, don't reel them back in. You cast them on Him and you leave them there. Leave it. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it in His hands. Remember that He is the God of Jacob. He's the God of hosts, and He will supply just what we stand in need of as we look to Him. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. I love you, son. God bless you. 590 with the note.